Thank you, Vishu, and Sairam to all listeners of Radio Sai, welcoming you to yet another session of Shravanam Mananam Nididhyasanam. This is Prem from Team Radio Sai with Sai Prakash of Team Radio Sai. It's a wonderful Thursday evening. The weather has been beautiful all the week through, and especially today there's been a gentle drizzle all through the day. And what a wonderful way to bring this day to a close. The last two segments, the second last being this one, listening to some wonderful, beautiful clips of a discourse delivered by Swami. And if you're aware and if you've been following us, we are studying the discourse series which we were delivered as part of the 1990 summer course. So welcoming all of you and offering our humble pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet. Welcome, Sai Prakash.
Thank you, Prem, and welcome, dear listeners. You know, this has been a very wonderful and an exciting project, and I hope you are enjoying it as well. In fact, as we were discussing earlier, even one person is not listening to our programs, it still makes sense to go on because we are learning a lot from it. And you know, when we were in the school, I was just reminded of what our principal sir would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is a chemistry teacher, and he would say, we have a lot of equations, you know, that we have to remember for the examination.
Right.
And he would say, you just learn one equation per day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Mr. Shivaram Krishna sir, he would say, learn one equation per day. And he had worked it out so wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
He would say, if you just study one equation per day, by the time you get to the board exams, you know, you would have learnt about 200 equations.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is required for the exam. And we would think, wow, that's so simple. Just one equation per day. And he would say, just write it down. He write the equation down and look at it. The first few times you start looking at it, automatically it sits in your consciousness and then you remember it. So you don't have to really try to by heart it towards the end. So sincerely, you know, first week all of us start writing one equation per day. And you think, okay, today if I don't learn one equation, let me do two tomorrow.
Right.
And slowly we postpone. The reason I'm trying to say this is we have come to the fourth discourse now and we have covered so much. And I think it is our duty to actually summarize and then bring out all the points that Swami has told till this point. But since we are not ready to do that this time, I think we'll keep it for the next session, where we will actually start with summarizing discourse 1, 2, 3, 4, because it has to be, you know, a cumulative learning experience. It cannot be, okay, I heard it 4 weeks ago. Swami spoke about the human body. Now we are going to the mind and we are going to the senses. So I think we'll do that next time we start this episode.
Sure.
But for now, we should go over back to right. the episode,
yeah,
discourse 4.
Even before we do that, mm-hmm. even as you were giving this small introduction, and what was striking me was, mm-hmm. you know, when a person, a founder of an organization,
mm-hmm.
starts states a vision statement or
mm-hmm.
a mission statement,
mm-hmm.
the endeavor would be to connect to the vision statement.
Correct.
In every new endeavor which the conglomerate or the organization takes up,
mm-hmm.
you know, is it in line with the vision statement?
Very true.
Or is the vision statement inspiring this
mm.
new venture?
Mm.
Even if you look at Swami's discourses, you know, the vision statement is that
mm-hmm.
you have to understand your true reality. You have to know your truth.
Mm.
And starting from the first discourse, Swami
mm.
gave the first discourse about Indian culture, spirituality.
Mm.
Why this summer course?
Mm.
Is it in line with that vision statement?
Mm.
Swami spoke about the body. Are we understanding the body in line with that vision statement?
Mm.
And now Swami is talking about the senses, which is slightly subtler than the body.
Mm.
Are we understanding the senses and using the senses in line with that vision statement?
Correct.
You know, that's the procedure with which Swami is going through this entire sequence of discourses, isn't it?
Mm. That's amazing. But, you know, the another incident that comes to my mind, and which has often been quoted as well in Radio Sai, is when Professor Kasturi asked Swami. Swami is going around the villages, and then he is giving discourses. And then he is speaking about the Atma, he is speaking about the Paramatma, and he is speaking the absolute truth. And Professor Kasturi is quite amazed and wonder struck. So he asked Swami, Swami, you are talking about the Atma to this person who is a farmer. Will he understand this? Swami says no. Then Swami, why are you going around, you tell him how to earn his livelihood, and why are you going around speaking this absolute truth and the ultimate truth? These people will not be able to grasp it. Then Swami says, what I am speaking to them is not for this birth. They will understand it 10 births later. They may understand it 10 births later. So when the avatar comes on earth, he has come with an agenda, divine agenda, to impart this knowledge, as Swami very nicely asked one of his devotees, sukshmam lo moksham. He says, moksham in shortcut, in a very simple way. That's what Swami did. And even today when we listen to all his discourses, again and again, we have not been able to grasp the import, the total import of what Swami is saying, because that's possible only when we start practicing it. But then imagine people who were there sitting in the auditorium on that day when Swami was delivering this discourse. How many of them would actually, grasp everything that Swami has spoken and start implementing and be inspired? Since we have the, privilege of working in Radio Sai, and we have seen lot of videos of Bhagwan's discourses, the most touching part, the amazing part is the involvement with which Swami speaks. When you look at the discourse, when you look at Swami speaking and literally giving himself in front of the mic, you start wondering, Swami, is the entire audience going to just change after this discourse? So much of involvement, 100% involvement. We really don't know how many of the people had that involvement towards listening to his discourse as much as he had towards giving the discourse. So that's why, the entire discourse is with so much of love and so much of affection and so much of compassion towards mankind. Even in the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, in several shlokas, there's a very beautiful introduction that says, with a lot of compassion, Krishna says, that concern, that compassion for mankind is what is behind these words, is the source of all these words. Actually, it is not to show us that here I am superior to you because I know a lot and you all don't know. Nor is it something which he is trying to teach. It is out of compassion. It is out of love that he's sharing, he's inspiring. I think that's the tone in which Swami has spoken.
Absolutely. If we were to be invited to say a lecture by a Nobel laureate, mm-hmm. who's going to talk about the very concept which has won him the Nobel. Mm. Let's say that Einstein is going to speak about relativity, how excited we would be.
Exactly.
Because we are going to listen about that path-breaking philosophy or path-breaking finding from the founder himself.
Correct.
And here we have Swami talking about the body, about the senses, about the subtler aspects of human birth.
Mm.
What can be more exciting than this? And exactly. It's just that it just slips our mind because Swami says, like little children who are excited about what they see in the marketplace, running here and there.
Mm.
And that's why we lose sight of the most exciting thing which is right in front of us.
That's very true.
So hoping and praying that Swami keeps our focus ever on him and this wonderful message which he's come to give us.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe quickly we could go through what Swami has told in this discourse, so far.
Mm-hmm.
As we started off even last time, Swami very emphatically says that controlling the senses and to keep the mind still is very difficult. Whoever you are, you might have achieved many things, but it is indeed a daunting task for anybody.
Mm.
And then Swami says how the senses and the body are interrelated and inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
Though the senses are by nature subtler than the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami talks about how the senses are the very interface between your inner self and the outer world.
Okay.
You tend to experience everything of the world through the window of the senses, but through the impressions that the mind creates.
Okay.
That's
and then the various names like Matra
right.
And then Ashwamedha.
Yeah, the comparison of the mind and the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami goes on to talk about the Ashwamedha Yajna.
Correct.
The real significance of that.
Mm-hmm. Then he goes on to speak about various senses and the control of the tongue,
right.
For example, how important it is. You know, here there is a very interesting statement,
mm-hmm.
which I think it's worth reading out. It is only by properly using the God-given senses for the purposes of for which they are intended that man can rise to divine heights. So he says, using the senses for what they are intended and not becoming a slave to your senses. So I think these are the topics on which Swami is speaking. But here is another beautiful statement which Swami says. He says, you can control the senses and you can calm the senses. He says, there is a method by which the demands of the senses can be reconciled and harmonized.
Right.
This is by treating good and bad with equal mindedness. This has always been, you know, Swami's, I would say, expectation or a demand from his devotees. Because right from the letter written in 1940, he says, I have a definition for my devotees. They should not be elated by joy, nor, you know, suffer loss or failure.
I think, and that is the thing which actually connects the mind with the senses,
mm-hmm.
if you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Swami is saying, when the mind is equal-minded and equanimity saturates
mm-hmm.
the mind,
mm-hmm.
then the senses actually lose their pull over
wow.
your intellect.
That's really nice, yeah. Correct.
Right? Mm. In fact, even as Swami says the statement, you know, there was a very beautiful instance. Somebody had, one of our listeners had actually written to us
mm-hmm.
in the life of Kanchi Paramacharya,
okay.
who's called Periwal.
Mm.
You know, it seems once he was sitting and giving audience to a set of devotees. They were mm-hmm. coming up to him. And somewhere there was a stench of, you know, mm. maybe a clogged
mm.
drainage or something.
Mm.
That foul smell was coming.
Mm.
So amidst all these perfumed agarbatti and the flowers and all that,
mm.
there was a stench which was coming.
Mm.
So everybody in the room was feeling that smell.
Mm.
But the Kanchi Shankaracharya, he was absolutely undisturbed by this.
Mm.
Then somebody actually told him that, Swamiji, like this, a smell is coming.
Mm.
I don't know from where it is. Maybe we'll have to have a look. So he said, I'm not getting any foul smell.
Pa.
So they said, no, there is a foul smell. Some drainage smell is coming.
Mm.
He said, no, I don't get any foul smell.
Mm.
He said, when you offer to me flowers, I accept that smell also.
Mm.
That is also pleasant to me.
Mm.
And now this smell which you consider foul, that is also just a smell to me.
Wow. That's amazing.
Right? You know, when you reach that state.
Mm.
And in fact, that is one of the means by which people try to attain that equal-mindedness, where people forcefully try to stay in places where it is not otherwise hospitable.
Yeah, exactly. Like going to the burial ground and
right.
You know, contemplating on the on death itself,
right.
And the changing pattern of creation.
Then one of the most beautiful statements, you know, Swami made in this entire thing was when Swami said. You think that it is impossible to control the senses.
Mm.
You know, you think it, you feel disheartened
mm-hmm.
with the fear that it's impossible to control the senses.
Mm.
And Swami says, by developing one-pointed devotion and complete surrender to God, the senses can definitely be brought under control.
Wow.
You know?
I think again and again it goes back to love.
Right.
Because here one-pointed devotion and complete surrender to God is possible only when you have that deep love for the Lord. And again, as you go higher, that deep love for yourself, that's what Swami would say. Self, yourself is the Lord and you are that self.
Right.
So.
And then Swami spoke about how we treat our senses like wives and, you know, get pulled if you have, how difficult it is to satisfy one wife and you are suffering the plight of a man with 10 wives.
Correct.
And then Swami told two stories about, you know, a man with a good wife and a man with a nagging wife, Kabir and Tukaram.
Tukaram, yeah.
And, you know, the point which Swami brought out so beautifully is how we tend to blame our circumstances.
Environment.
And Swami said that is not true.
Mm.
Here you have two people who had completely contrary circumstances, but both could achieve that common end.
Correct. I think there is another example coming up
right.
after this. I think we let us go to the clip
right,
and find out.
This.
Yeah.
Ingli ఇంగ్లీష్ లోపల మీకు తెలిసినటువంటి వారే ఐన్స్టీన్. యు నో ఐన్స్టీన్, ఇతను మహావిజ్ఞాని, హి వాజ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ సైంటిస్ట్. కానీ అతనికి ఒక మూర్ఖురాలైనటువంటి భార్య. హి హ్యాడ్ ఎ వెరీ స్టూపిడ్ వైఫ్. ఆమె విద్యావంతురాలు కాదు. షి వాజ్ నాట్ ఎన్ ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ లేడీ. కాకుండా పోయినంత మాత్రం ఏమి బాధలేదు, కానీ మొరట మనిషి. నాట్ నెససరీ టు బి ఎడ్యుకేటెడ్ బట్ షీ వాజ్ రాదర్ క్రూడ్ టైప్. ఈ యొక్క ఐన్స్టీన్ నిరంతరము ఏదో ఒక యోచనలో మునిగి ఉండేటువంటి వాడు. ఐన్స్టీన్ వాజ్ ఆల్వేస్ అబ్జార్బ్డ్ ఇన్ సమ్ విచారణ విచారణ ఎక్స్పెరిమెంటల్ 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 దీంట్లోనే తన కాలం అంతా కూడా గడిపేటువంటి వాడు.
హీ వాజ్ ఇన్వెస్టింగ్ హిజ్ ఎంటైర్ టైమ్ ఇన్ ఎక్స్పెరిమెంట్స్ అండ్ రీసెర్చ్.
సకాలానికి భోజనానికి లోపల పోయి వెళ్లేటువంటి వాడు కాదు.
హీ వాజ్ నాట్ గోయింగ్ ఈవెన్ ఫర్ హిజ్ లంచ్.
ఏ టీ కాఫీ కూడాను భార్య అనేక పర్యాయములు వచ్చి పిలిచిన తర్వాతనే లోపల వెళ్లేటువంటి వాడు.
ఓన్లీ ఆఫ్టర్ వైఫ్ కాల్స్ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ టైమ్స్ హీ గో ఈవెన్ ఫర్ ఎ కప్ ఆఫ్ కాఫీ.
ఈ విధంగా చేస్తున్నంత వరకు కూడాను భార్యకు విసుగెత్తింది.
ది వైఫ్ వాజ్ రాదర్ డిస్గస్టెడ్.
సకాలానికి ఇంటికి రాడు, సకాలానికి భోజనం చేయడు, సకాలానికి టీ తాగడు, అతని కోసం నేను కాచుకోవాలి, ఏమిటి ఈ అవస్థ అని అనేక రకములుగా తాను నిరంతరం కూడా బుర్రు బుర్రు అనేటువంటిదిగా కోపం చేస్తుండేటువంటిది.
హర్ కంప్లైంట్ వాజ్ దాట్ హీ డజంట్ కమ్ ఇన్ ప్రాపర్ టైమ్ ఫర్ ఫుడ్ ఫర్ టీ ఆర్ ఎనీథింగ్ లైక్ దాట్. హీ వాజ్ ఎ బిగ్ న్యూసెన్స్ అండ్ షీ వుడ్ నాట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు టేక్ హర్ ఫుడ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ షీ వాంటెడ్.
ఒకనాడు పాపం ఆమెకు చాలా ఆకలి వేసింది.
షీ వాజ్ రాదర్ హంగ్రీ అనే పర్టికులర్
టట్టలో ప్లేట్ తప్పే ప్లేట్ లోపలంతా కూడా వంట వడ్డించింది.
She served all the dishes in a plate.
Table దగ్గర కూర్చుంది, రండి 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 అని పిలిచింది పాపం అనేక పర్యాయములు.
She sat near the table and requested her husband to join for lunch a number of times.
కానీ అతను వినిపించుకోలేదు.
He was not caring for her.
ఆ టేబుల్ పైన వాటర్ జగ్ ఉంటున్నది.
She had a water jug on the table.
కోపంతో పరిగెత్తింది ఆ వాటర్ జగ్ అతని తలపై నీళ్లు పోసింది.
She took the water jug with a lot of anger and poured on the head of Einstein.
అప్పుడు ఈ ఐన్స్టీన్ చాలా నవ్వుతూ, ఆహా, నిత్యము ఉరుములు మెరుపులు మాత్రమే ఉండేటువంటిది, ఈనాడు కుంభవర్షం కూర్చింది నా తలపై అన్నాడు.
Einstein, without becoming angry, with a smile he said, "Every day there used to be thunder and lightning only, but today there is a very heavy downpour on my head."
అనగా ఎంత సమన్వయం గావించుకున్నాడు చూ.
You can imagine.
ఆ భార్య ఆ జగ్గుతో నీరు తలపైన పోస్తే జగ్గును తీసుకుని కొట్టేటువంటి వారు ఈ కాలం పురుషులు. కానీ దానికి తాను పూనుకోలేదు.
వాట్ ఏ నైస్ పర్సన్, హౌ హీ కుడ్ ఈజీలీ హార్మోనైజ్ అండ్ కీప్ హింసెల్ఫ్ హ్యాపీ. టుడే
అది ఏ ఇంద్రియ నిగ్రహం,
దాట్ ఈస్ కంట్రోల్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్.
ఇది ఒక తపస్సుగా భావించుకుంటూ వచ్చారు పూర్వీకులు.
ది ఏన్షియంట్ వన్స్ కన్సిడర్ సెన్స్ కంట్రోల్ యాజ్ ఎ పెనన్స్.
థామస్ అని ఒక క్రిస్టియన్ మత ప్రబోధకుడు ఉండేటువంటి వాడు.
దేర్ వాస్ ఎ ప్రీచర్, క్రిస్టియన్ ప్రీచర్ బై నేమ్ థామస్.
థామస్ అతను ప్రతి పల్లెకు వెళ్లి ఆ మతమును ప్రబోధం చెలుపుతూ ఉండేటువంటి వాడు.
హీ యూజ్డ్ టు గో టు డిఫరెంట్ విలేజెస్ అండ్ అండర్టేక్ ప్రీచింగ్.
ఒకనాడు ఒక గుర్రబండి ఎక్కి ఒక పల్లెకు వెళుతూ ఉన్నాడు.
ఆన్ వన్ పర్టికులర్ డే హీ వాస్ ట్రావెలింగ్ ఆన్.
మధ్య మార్గంలో ఒక లెవెల్ క్రాస్ అడ్డం వచ్చింది.
There was a level crossing on the way.
గుర్రం చక్కగా పరిగెత్తుతుండాలి, దాని ఏమాత్రం నడవకపోలేదు.
ది హార్స్ వాజ్ రన్నింగ్ ఆల్ రైట్.
కానీ ఆ లెవెల్ క్రాస్ దగ్గరికి వచ్చేటప్పటికే ఈ గుర్రపు యజమాని కర్ర తీసుకుని దాన్ని అధికంగా కొడుతూ వచ్చాడు.
ది హార్స్ డ్రైవర్ బిగాన్ బీటింగ్ ది హార్స్ ది మూమెంట్ ది హార్స్ అప్రోచ్. నియర్
మత ప్రబోధకుడు కనుక జీసస్ యొక్క ప్రభావము కరుణయే అతని ప్రధానమైనటువంటి ప్రచారమని విశ్వసించినటువంటి వాడు కనుక, అయ్యా, చక్కగా నడుస్తున్నటువంటి గుర్రంను ఎందుకింత బాధ పెడుతున్నావు అని అడిగాడు ఆ జట్కా వాణ్ణి.
యాజ్ హీ వాజ్ ఎ ప్రీచర్ ఫర్మ్లీ బిలీవ్డ్ ఇన్ ది కైండ్నెస్ అండ్ కంపాషన్ టాట్ బై జీసస్, హీ ఆస్క్డ్ ది డ్రైవర్, వై ఆర్ యూ బీటింగ్ దిస్ హార్స్ వెన్ ఇట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆల్ రైట్.
అప్పుడు జట్కా వాడు చెప్తున్నాడు, సార్, ఈ లెవెల్ క్రాస్ తక్కువ లోపల తెల్లగా కొన్ని రాళ్లు పాతి పెట్టారు.
హీ బిగాన్ ఆన్సరింగ్ ది ప్రీచర్, వెల్ సార్, నియర్ ది రైల్వే క్రాసింగ్ దేర్ ఆర్
ఈ తెల్ల రాళ్లు చూసేటప్పటికి భయపడుతుండాలి.
ది మూమెంట్ ది హార్స్ ఈస్ దీస్ వైట్ స్టోన్స్ ఇట్ ఈస్ గెటింగ్ ఫ్రైటెన్డ్.
ఆ భయం కంటే ఎక్కువ భయం నా యొక్క కొరడా దెబ్బలకి పెట్టితే ఆ భయం మాని ఈ భయంలో తను ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
In order that I frighten the horse by beating it more fervently, I am creating such fright in the horse in order that it may not, its fright about the stones may be less compared to the beating.
అప్పుడు చామర్స్ యోచన చేశాడు, మనసును ఏ విధంగా మరల్చాలి అనేటువంటిది ఒక జట్కా వాణి వల్ల నేను తెలుసుకున్నానన్నాడు.
దిస్ చామర్స్ బిగాన్ థింకింగ్ దట్ ఐ హావ్ లెర్న్డ్ హౌ టు కంట్రోల్ ద మైండ్ అండ్ చేంజ్.
ఒక మనసు అనగా ఒక ఇంద్రియము ఒక విషయం పైన పరిగెత్తున్నప్పుడు ఆ విషయం నుంచి కూడా తప్పించి ఇంకొక విషయం పైన పరిగెత్తడానికి దానికి తగిన శిక్షణ ఇవ్వాలి.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు డైవర్ట్ sense organ from one direction to another direction, give it proper punishment or training.
ఇది అనేక పిచ్చి మార్గంలో ప్రవేశిస్తుంటుంది.
It goes in rather wrong ways.
దానికి విరుద్ధమైనటువంటి దానికంటే ఇంకా అధికమైన దీన్ని మనం నిరూపించి చేసినప్పుడు అది దాని మార్గమును వదలి సరైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశిస్తుంది.
ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు డైవర్ట్ ఇట్ ఆన్ ద రైట్ పాత్, యూ హ్యావ్ టు పుట్ ఇట్ అండర్ ప్రెషర్ అండ్ సీ.
దొంగ పశువే ఉంటుండదు అనుకోండి,
there is a particular thief,
అది ఏదో పంటలో పడి మేయటానికి పోతుంటుంది.
అండ్ వన్ యానిమల్ విచ్ ఈస్
అంతకంటే మంచి గడ్డిని మనము పచ్చి గడ్డిని మన ఇంటిలో వేస్తే ఆ పంటకే పోదది, అది ఇంటి దగ్గరనే ఉండి వేస్తుంది.
ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు కంట్రోల్ అన్ యానిమల్ ఫ్రమ్ గోయింగ్ గ్రేజింగ్ టు ద రాంగ్ ఫీల్డ్,
తాను ఆశించిన దానికంటే ఉత్తమమైనటువంటి దానిని మనం ప్రవేశపెట్టినప్పుడు ఆ ఆశను నిరాశగా చేసుకుని ఉత్తమమైన మార్గంలో ప్రవేశిస్తుంది. మనసులు కూడాను ఇంద్రియములు కూడాను పశువులు అని చెప్తూ వచ్చారు.
ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఆర్ ఆల్సో డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ యాజ్ యానిమల్స్.
ఎందుకోసం పశువు అని చెప్పారు?
వై ఇస్ ఇట్ కాల్డ్ అన్ యానిమల్?
పశ్చితీతి పశువు అని దీనికి అంతరార్థం.
ది ఇన్నర్ మీనింగ్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ ఆల్వేస్ గోస్
బయట దృష్టి కలిగినటువంటిది పశువు, లోదృష్టి కలిగినటువంటి వాడు పశుపతి అన్నారు.
ది యానిమల్ ఆల్వేస్ విల్ హ్యావ్ ఎన్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ విజన్, ఇట్ డజంట్ గెట్ ఇంట్రోవర్టెడ్.
మానవుడు పశుపతి కావాలి కానీ పశువు కాకూడదు.
The master of these animals will always have you
master kavali kani slave kaakudu.
You should become the master, not the slave.
Neevu indriyaniki neevu baanisaipoyinappudu neevu slave avutavu.
If you become slave of sense organs,
indriyaniki neevu master kavali.
You should become a master of your senses.
Kanuka nee master ne manavudu.
Man is the master.
Kanuka itti master ayinatti manavudu kevalam indriyaniki vashamaipoyi బానిసగా జీవిస్తూ వస్తున్నాడు.
మ్యాన్ హూ మస్ట్ బి ది మాస్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఈజ్ బికమింగ్ ఎ స్లేవ్ ఆఫ్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ అండ్ లివింగ్ ఎ పిటియబుల్ లైఫ్.
ఈ ఇంద్రియములను సక్రమమైన మార్గంలో పెట్టుకోవడానికి అనేక రకమైనటువంటి మార్గములు ఉంటున్నాయి.
దేర్ ఆర్ ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ వేస్ టు పుట్ ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాపర్ పాత్.
దీనికి ఇష్టం వచ్చినటువంటివన్నీ కూడా అందించడానికి ప్రయత్నించకూడదు.
డూ నాట్ గో ఆన్ ఆఫరింగ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ది డిజైర్.
ఈ ఇంద్రియముల యొక్క భోగం ఎక్కడి నుంచి పుట్టింది అని ఒక చిక్కని విచారణ చేయాలి.
You have to just think as to what is the
ఇవి దుఃఖము నుంచినే పుట్టాయి.
ఆల్ దిస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్
పుట్టిన స్థానం ఎట్టిదో, దీని ప్రభావం కూడా అట్టివారే ఉంటాయి.
దే ఆర్ బోర్న్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ సారో అండ్ దర్ ఇంపాక్ట్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో సారో.
కనుకనే ఇవి అందించేటువంటి అంతా కూడా మనము తాత్కాలికంగా భోగమును భాగ్యమును ఆనందమును అనుకుంటాం, కానీ ఇది పూర్తి దుఃఖాన్ని అందిస్తున్నాయి.
వాట్ ఎవర్ దిస్ సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ గివ్ యూ మే గివ్ యూ ఏ టెంపరీ జాయ్ బట్ పర్మనెంట్ సారో అండ్ సాడ్నెస్.
దీని వాంఛలు క్షణంలో పుడతాయి, క్షణంలో అణుగుతాయి.
దీస్ డిజైర్స్ స్ప్రింగ్ ఇన్ ఎ మోమెంట్ అండ్
ఆద్యంతములు రెండు కూడా క్షణంలోనే ఆవరిస్తాయి.
విత్ ఇన్ ఎ మోమెంట్ దేర్ ఇస్ బిగినింగ్, విత్ ఇన్ ఎ మోమెంట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఎన్ ఎండ్.
ఈనాడు నేను లడ్డు తినాలి అని ఒక ఆశ పుట్టింది.
You get a desire that you would like to eat laddu.
Aa pudina chame rendu laddu tinnavu.
You ate laddu.
Rendu laddu tine tappiki visigettindi.
After eating two laddus,
aasa enta sepu, nirasa enta sepu.
Within the moment there is a desire.
Ishtam enta sepu, aishtam enta sepu.
Desire in one moment and dislike.
Ok chalamuloni ishta aishtamulu rendu kudano jarigipoyinayi.
In a moment these likes and dislikes appear and this
abhanguramaina kuttivi kada.
These are all temporary, isn't it?
కనుక దీనిని సరైనటువంటి రీతిలో మనం విచారణ సలిపి
యూ హ్యావ్ టు ఎన్క్వైర్ ఆన్ ప్రాపర్ లైన్స్ ఆన్ దీస్ మ్యాటర్.
ఇంద్రియాలకు తగినటువంటి యొక్క పనిని మనం పెట్టాలి.
గివ్ ప్రాపర్ వర్క్ టు ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్.
ఈ ఇంద్రియములకు సరైనటువంటి పనిని మనం ఇవ్వకుండా పోవటం చేతనే మనం అనేక రకములుగా దానికి బానిసలు కావాల్సి వస్తుంది.
వీ విల్ హ్యావ్ టు గివ్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ట్రబుల్ టు ది సెన్స్ ఆర్గన్స్ ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ గివ్ ప్రాపర్ వర్క్ ఇన్ ద ప్రాపర్ టైం.
దేహము యొక్క వాంఛలు మనము సత్యమైనవిగా భావించరాదు.
We should not consider the desires of the physical body as based on truth.
So continuing on the theme, Swami gives another example of the great scientist Einstein and how he, with lot of forbearance and love, he handles a rather embarrassing situation.
Right.
You know, there's a very, it's a slight digression from here, but he says that Einstein's wife was uneducated. And then Swami also says, not that education was absolutely necessary for her, but she was also adamant. Now, in that context, I just remembered what happened to me, a personal experience when after my master's, you know, I wanted to stay back with Bhagwan and work here.
Right.
And Swami said, why don't you do MBBS, medicine? And then you can become a doctor and you can serve here. So I was thinking, yes, if Swami wants me, I'm ready to do that. And then instead of, I just prayed to Swami, Swami, I'm ready to study anything in order to stay with you. That was the answer I gave to Bhagwan. And Swami looked at me and with a twinkle in his eye, he said, to stay with me, do you need education? I mean, it was just an eye-opener, because to stay with Swami, to be close to the Lord, it's, you don't need education. You don't need the worldly knowledge. You don't need education. I think you just need to know your real nature. So he says, to stay with me, you don't need any education. So I just got reminded of that. But you know, again, going back to the same story of Einstein, there is a similar story that happened with our school principal, Professor Habbu.
Okay.
You know what happened? That's amazing, because Swami is quoting Einstein here, but I felt what Professor Habbu exemplified at that moment was equally on the same, level of forbearance.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what was happening was Professor Habbu was walking back home for lunch. And obviously he must have given a piece of his mind to some student who was very annoyed with him. And as Professor Habbu was walking, This boy, knowingly or unknowingly, I'm not sure whether he saw Professor Habbu, there was a bottle of water. So he just poured the water out of the window from the top.
Okay.
And it came right and on Professor Habbu's head.
Mm-hmm.
And he was already aged at that time. And so he had a, bald head.
Okay.
And the water fell straight on his head. And the boy didn't notice also, because he was doing it from the sea floor. And the next morning in the assembly, Professor Habbu comes up and says, yesterday I was walking home for lunch and one of the students here mistook my head for the Shivalinga. His sense of humor was just amazing. And he said, one of you, please be aware that this is my head and this is not the Shivalinga, but you had. So he just converted that event into such a light-hearted and such an amazing, I think that also is in par with what Einstein did.
Just to let our listeners know, Professor Habbu was one of the long-standing principals of Swami's school. In fact, many people who have been through the school will vouch for the fact that he's played a very important role in their character building.
Very true.
A very straightforward man. Man of very, very strict strong
Gandhian
principles.
Yes.
Strict Gandhian.
Mm-hmm.
And, he used to wear the khadi all the time. Swami used to give him khadi clothes.
Yes.
And he used to give others whites.
Correct. And also, one thing I noticed, that he would constantly be chanting the Lord's name. And constantly, without any break, he would continuously chant. I mean, these are people who have actually taken Swami's teachings and put it into, his last moments reflect that. He actually, we can actually say that he held back his life to live it on an auspicious day.
Right, on Vaikuntha Ekadashi. And Swami, in fact, physically appeared in the hospital when he was admitted.
Oh, is it?
And gave him a darshan.
Mm.
And that's the beauty. Swami speaks about Abraham Lincoln, Swami speaks about Einstein.
Mm.
You know, no doubt there are people who have achieved so much in their chosen fields,
mm-hmm.
but it is also because of these qualities that, you know, they have come to be recalled so many times by the avatar.
Very true.
You know, not just because Einstein was a scientist, because there's so many scientists in the 19th century has seen, but why Swami always goes back to Einstein? Why Swami speaks about Newton? You know, Swami would always say, Newton, he was a very humble person at the end of the day, because he said, all that I have seen is what I've seen standing on the shoulders of giants.
Oh.
You know, people so many centuries before me have seen so much in science. I've only taken their, you know, theories a little forward.
That's
that's what Swami keeps, you know, referring to these personalities. And a beautiful story where he talks about Einstein's equanimity here. And this wonderful, again, this Christian priest. What a beautiful story, you know, where Swami says.
And so now it looks like he is giving 2-3 different ways in which you can actually control your senses.
Right. That's what Swami says, that there are many ways in which the senses can be controlled.
So one way is to obviously divert them.
Right.
And to keep them engaged in something else, so that they are not driving you.
Right. And you know, also giving it a more sublime thing to go after. That's what Swami is saying. Here Swami is talking about the idea of fear. Give it something which it is more afraid of. Like, you know, the horse example is saying, it's afraid of those white stones placed in a row, but it's more scared of my whipping.
Yes.
So that way it will overcome this lesser fear. So same thing, if you replace craving, you know, replace craving for something which is low with some craving for something which is more higher.
True.
You know, one of the things which the warden Narasimhulti sir used to tell us when we were studying, he used to say that there are some desires which are more sublime than others. There are some joys which are more sublime than others. It's a joy which comes out of sport, joy which comes out of music, joy which comes out of good literature and poetry. These are no doubt, you know, things which are actually enticing your mind and senses. But these are more sublime than other things which can actually draw you down.
Correct.
And that's why he said, you know, enjoy a jog. Enjoy going out in the morning and having a nice jog. If you like good literature, read classics. You know, no doubt they're actually intellectual things which someday you'll have to turn them to spirituality. But they are definitely better than other things which can, you know, draw you to lower habits.
Correct. And, you know, last time we were mentioning about this example of Radha actually telling Krishna, please accept my cows.
Right.
And Swami, in some other context, has said that go, that is the cow. The go stands for senses and organs. So she says, please accept my cows. And whom is she telling? She's actually telling her own Atma. She's telling her Atma, which is Krishna, that you accept my senses. You accept my cows. So she offers and she says, I have fed them well. So what does it mean, she says, when she says I have fed them well? She says, ego and attachment. Ego and attachment are like green grass for the senses. If you have ego and attachment, then the senses are very happy. They have a well, an amazing feast. She says, yeah, what to do? I have fed them well, but now you please accept them. And she says, I am offering the cows to you. And the more and more you think of these leelas of the Lord, it's not, you know, these stories like Radha Rani and the Gopikas, whatever the people say, that they look at the entire episode of Krishna and the Gopikas in different ways. But Swami has again and again told that Krishna was just a child at that time. And all these leelas have very deep interpretations, and the significance is very, very deep. I mean, what a sage could have realized sitting in the penance for thousands of years, with pure love for the Lord, the Gopikas easily understood that.
Absolutely. You know, there's this wonderful book I read quite some time back. It's called The Family That Overtook Christ.
Yes, I read.
You know, it's a wonderful book,
Bernard,
about Saint Bernard.
Yes.
You know, there is this wonderful episode where Saint Bernard is giving a sermon. So he says that, you know, the pleasures of this world are unreal and they will bring you down, and they are not true happiness and all that. So one of his brothers, who is also, you know, in that same monastery with him, after the sermon, he goes up to him and says, you know, this is not going to work. This kind of sermonizing will not work. And Saint Bernard is surprised. He's saying, what are you saying? He says, you know, to the people who are enjoying the pleasures of the world, if you say there is no pleasure in the world, will they believe you? He says, because there is pleasure in the world. You know, even if instant, momentary, the world does give them pleasures. So if you tell them there is no pleasure in the world, they will only not be able to accept your sermon. Tell them there is pleasure in the world, but there is greater pleasure where I am leading you to.
Wow.
He says, tell them there is much greater pleasure in turning to God. And that is how you can tell them, like, you know, they've seen the pleasure. Tell them there is something more I can offer you. And that's what Swami says here, that if you have cows, if you give them fresh grass, and even more easily palatable grass, where they are, why will they go in,
search
of pastures?
Correct. And Radha says that I'm giving my ego an attachment, which is like fresh green grass for the cows. And he says very beautifully about Pashu and Pashupati as well.
Right. And wonderful comparison. Swami saying Pashu, the word Pashu itself means that which, the vision which is externally oriented.
Yes.
And so Swami says those are nothing but the senses, as you're saying. Radha says that I offer you my cows. And Swami says that you should not be Pashus, you should be Pashupatis, one who are master of the senses.
You know, again, it's just a thought that has come to me, but when you're talking about the senses and the senses of perception, you know, you're talking about the sight, you're talking about the hands, smell, taste, hearing. I saw something which was very interesting. This is basically this Guinness Book of World Records. You know, where there is one person who is given this cube with six colors. And even to set all the colors right, it takes a lot of time. When it's quite difficult to get all the six colors right. But what they did was, he got into the Guinness Book because they jumbled it up and they shuffled the whole cube and made it as complicated as possible and just showed it to him. And he studied the cube for 5 minutes. Like, he just went on observing the cube. And then they blindfolded him. And believe it or not, blindfolded, he did the entire cube. And it was just amazing. And people were totally shocked. And as he was doing it also, people would, you know, the color goes here, there and all. But he knew exactly what he was doing. Then they asked him, how did you actually manage? He said, see, it's very simple. I associated one color with one member of my family. And I said, okay, my aunt went from here to there and my father went from here to here. So that time my nephew, what he did was, he did this. So he knew all these family stories and he associated them with the colors. Now, what I'm trying to say is, without the use of the senses of sight, you know, it is his mind that is doing it. These are examples by which you can really, even on the physical plane, do without the senses. Try to go beyond the senses. I thought this was a very powerful example. And, you know, even in people who are blind, people, you know, like Helen Keller, who are you know, have multiple
disabilities,
how they survive and how their inner self, you know, really gives them that strength to perform extraordinary things.
You know, there is actually they call it psychokinesis or something. The people who don't have an arm,
okay,
the mind projects an arm.
Oh, okay.
In times of very, very high emotional moments, like when there's an accident and they go to help somebody, without their knowledge, they actually use an arm which they don't have.
Oh, okay.
So there have been cases where the mind is so strong that it projects a limb which isn't there.
That's interesting. That's amazing.
And, you know, even if you look at this thing when Swami is saying the methods of controlling the senses, one is Swami saying that divert it to something which is higher or subtler or sublime. You know, that is nothing but the process of bhakti.
Correct.
And Swami is saying give it something which is more special, where which it will give up what it's doing now and go there. And the other thing Swami is telling is inquiry. anything, you just stop and ask yourself, where is this joy coming from? And ask, how long is this joy lasting? And Swami says that is enough. You will realize how ephemeral this particular joy that you are enjoying is. Which is nothing but the path of inquiry. Where, you know, you sit and break down that whole process.
Correct.
And make your mind understand that this is futile.
He gives the example of laddus. So he says, if you want to eat one today, you are happy. If you start eating more than one, again it becomes too sweet.
And I think all of us know this. When you go through the Gram Seva every year, you are excited the first 2 days of eating that one laddu prasadam. But by the time you are midway, you get laddu vairagyam. You know, you don't want laddus anymore.
That's true.
That again goes back to that thing of Swami saying the senses are matraha. You know, they also have a limit. Everything does give you happiness, but only when there is a limit.
Correct.
And to get that order right of the chariot, the charioteer, the reins, is so important.
And discrimination. So he says that will help you to discriminate whether what I'm doing is right. And then that gives you the detachment to the senses.
And then the final thing which Swami says is keep the mind, keep the senses busy in the right way. You know, Swami, that is the beautiful thing all through this discourse. Swami is not telling us keep your eyes shut and don't see at all. In fact, that is why, you know, even this concept of maunam, Swami used to encourage it only to a certain extent. It is good for an initial practice.
Yes.
It does not mean that you have to keep your mouth shut all through. Swami would say, speak when necessary. That was something which Swami always used to emphasize. You know? Speak when necessary. Speak how much is required. That is the most important thing. So keep your senses busy in the right way. Then there will be no trouble from them.
I mean, when you say, what is the actual intent of doing maunam, and that beautiful story is there. Where Krishna and Durvasa, that story.
Right, Nityopavasi and Nitya Brahmachari.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Durvasa is.
Durvasa has just had his fill. They had to cross the river.
Right.
And then Krishna tells the Gopikas that.
Rukmini, actually.
Right. He tells Rukmini. She has to take the food to the other side, and he tells, go to the river and say, if Krishna is Nitya Brahmachari, then it will give way. So she goes to the river and she says, with all her doubts and all her, you know, questions in her mind, she says it, and the river does give way. Then she goes and offers the food to the sage, and he has his fill. And probably must have belched as well. And at the end of that, she says, now how am I going to go back? Then Lord Durvasa, Sage Durvasa says, you just go to the river and say, if he is
Nityopavasi. The one who is constantly in fast.
In fast. You give way. And this story shows that, you know, what is the intention and with what understanding you are practicing his, Swami's teachings is what really matters. Just because you keep maunam and you keep silent outside, if your mind is constantly busy and you are constantly thinking of 100 different things, you may as well speak. And you know, I have seen this ridiculous thing where with lot of enthusiasm people take up, but then they are not able to sustain that maunam. With lot of actions and lot of actions and monosyllables, which is actually more irritating than just
you end up making the other person talk more.
Exactly. So the intention is important. So we'll go on to the next segment.
What is the next clip?
Yes.
Nenikkada lekunda poyinappatikini okokaru okoka vidhanga vaari vaari bhavallu ఉచ్చరించేటివన్నీ కూడా నేను గుర్తిస్తూ ఉంటుంటాను. ఐ మే నాట్ బి హియర్ బట్ ఐ కీప్ వాచింగ్ ద ఫీలింగ్స్ దట్ కమ్ ఇన్ ద మైండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. సాయంకాలము అనంతపురం ప్రిన్సిపల్ హేమలత ప్రహ్లాదం చరిత్రాన్ని చక్కగా సరైనటువంటి తెలుగు పదముల చేత పద్యముల చేత గానము చేత అందరికీ శ్రవణానందపరిచింది. దిస్ ఆఫ్టర్నూన్ ప్రిన్సిపల్ హేమలత ఆఫ్ అనంతపురం క్యాంపస్ gave a beautiful, melodious lecture using proper words.
Aithe andulo
ఒకటి ప్రధానమైనటువంటి రీతిగా బోధిస్తూ వచ్చింది. అమంగ్ ఆల్ ద థింగ్స్ షీ వాజ్ టీచింగ్ వన్ పర్టికులర్ థింగ్. శిశుపాల దంతవక్రాదులు పరమాత్ముడైన కృష్ణుణ్ణి నిరంతరము కూడా దూషిస్తూ వినరాని మాటల చేత నొప్పించేటువంటి వారు.
శిశుపాల దంతవక్ర యూజ్ టు యూజ్ వెరీ అబ్యూజివ్ వర్డ్స్ అగెన్స్ట్ కృష్ణ అండ్ హర్ట్ హిమ్ కంటిన్యూస్లీ.
అయితే ఒకనొక సమయం లోపల సభ జరుగుతూ ఉండాలి.
బట్ దేర్ వాస్ సమ్ కోర్ట్
అసెంబ్లీ. ఎవరికి ఇవ్వాలని ధర్మరాజు చేతి ఎందుంచుకున్నాడు.
ధర్మరాజా వాస్ కండక్టింగ్ దట్ పర్టికులర్ సభ.
ఎంతమందో మహర్షులంతా ఉంటున్నారు ఆ సభలో.
ఇన్ దట్ అసెంబ్లీ దెర్ ఆర్ గ్రేట్ మహర్షిస్.
ఆచార్య శ్రేష్ఠులైనటువంటి ద్రోణాచార్యులు, కృపాచార్యులు, ఇంకా భీష్మాచార్యులు అందరూ కూడా ఉంటున్నారు.
దే ఆర్ గ్రేట్ పీపుల్ లైక్ ద్రోణాచార్య, భీష్మాచార్య అండ్ కృపాచార్య.
అయితే అందరికంటే ఉత్తముడు భీష్ముడు.
Of all the people, Bhishma was
అతనికి అగ్రతాంబూలము.
ధర్మరాజా కుడ్ హావ్ గివెన్ ద ఆనర్ ఆఫ్ అగ్రతాంబూల
కాదు భీష్మ. తన ప్రియతమైనటువంటి ఆ మహాకృష్ణుడికి మాత్రమే ఎందించాలని తనలో ఆశ.
బట్ హీ హాడ్ డిజైర్డ్ అండ్ రిజర్వ్ దట్ ఆనర్ షుడ్
బి జీవితాధారము కృష్ణుడే.
కృష్ణ ఈజ్ ద
పరమావధి కృష్ణుడే.
హీఈస్
మా ప్రాణము కృష్ణుడే.
హీఈస్ అవర్ లైఫ్ ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్.
అతను తప్ప అన్యులు మాకు ఈ జగత్తులో పెద్దలు కనిపించరు.
దెర్ ఈస్ నో వన్ ఎల్స్ హూ ఈస్ గ్రేటర్ దాన్ హిమ్. వీ కెనాట్ సీ ఎనీ వన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్.
కృష్ణుడిని పిలిచి పాదములు కడిగి అగ్రతాంబూలం ఇస్తున్నాడు.
హీ కాల్డ్ కృష్ణ అండ్ హీ వాష్ ది ఫీట్ ఆఫ్
కృష్ణుడు. దుష్టులకు కూడాను కేవలం అంతర్భావం వాళ్ళు ఏమాత్రము యోచించరు.
ద వికెడ్ వన్స్ కెనాట్ అండర్స్టాండ్
బాహ్య దృష్టి, బాహ్య భావం అనే వాళ్ళు అనుసరిస్తుంటారు.
దే ఆల్వేస్ సీ ఎక్స్టర్నలీ అండ్
వ్యక్తిగతమైనటువంటి ద్వేషములను, అసూయలను వాళ్ళు ప్రకటిస్తూ ఉంటారు.
దే ఆల్వేస్ ఎక్స్ప్రెస్ హేట్రెడ్ అండ్ జెలసీ.
సమష్టి భావం వారిలో శూన్యము.
దే డు నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఎ కరెక్ట్ అండ్
నాకు ఇష్టం లేనంత మాత్రమే ప్రజలకు ఇష్టం ఉండదా అనేటువంటి విశాల భావము ఉండదు.
హీ డజంట్ హ్యావ్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ ఫీలింగ్. హీ మే నాట్ లైక్ బట్ ఆల్ ద పీపుల్ లైక్ ఇట్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్.
ఇలాంటి సంకుచితమైనటువంటి యొక్క చిత్తములకు ఉంటుంటాయి.
దేర్ ఆర్ సచ్ నారో మైండెడ్ పీపుల్ ఆల్వేస్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీవేర్.
ఇంత పెద్ద సభ లోపల లేచాడు శిశుపాలుడు.
శిశుపాల గాట్ అప్ ఇన్ ద గ్రేట్ అసెంబ్లీ.
ఏదో అక్కడ మురుగున అనుకోవటమే కాకుండా ప్రత్యక్షముగా పాండవులందరూ కూడా ఉంటున్నారు. మహాసభ జరుగుతుండాలి. ఇంతమంది ఋషుల మధ్య లోపల కృష్ణుని ఇష్టం వచ్చినట్టు దూషించాడు.
ఇన్ దట్ గ్రేట్ అసెంబ్లీ వేర్ పాండవాస్ అండ్ సో మెనీ అదర్ గ్రేట్ పీపుల్ వర్
తామూలం ఏమిటో కృష్ణులకు.
హీ బిగాన్ కండమింగ్ కృష్ణ ఇన్
జ్ఞాన పూజయు ఆ జవరాండ్ర చీరలు కాజేసినందుక పూజనీకు.
Should Krishna be worshipped because he stole the sarees of Gopikas when they
were bhoomantrato challaladaru harinchinanduka archanichuta.
Should he deserve this honor because he played with those rural Gopika, rural folk?
Chalu katti pettini panchangam inka.
Enough of it. Stop your
pagadi parabo oka charinchu mui no shut up annadu.
He said shut up.
Deeto dharmajuni yokka manasu chala badapadipoyindi.
ధర్మజాస్ మైండ్ వాజ్
రామ. నా ప్రేమమూర్తి, నా ప్రాణ సమానమైనటువంటి యొక్క భగవంతుని ఇంత సభ లోపల ఇన్ని విధమైన పరాభముగా మాట్లాడటమా అని తనలో తాను చాలా బాధపడుతున్నాడు.
మై బిలవెడ్ లార్డ్ కృష్ణ ఈజ్ బీయింగ్ అబ్యూజ్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ పర్టికులర్ ఫ్యాషన్.
దీనికి తగినట్టుగా అగ్రతాంబూలం ఇచ్చిన ఆ తట్ట చేతనే శిశుపాలుని తన విసిరాడు కృష్ణుడు.
Krishna took that particular plate itself and threw
ఏదో సుదర్శన చక్రం అంటారు. చక్రం కాదు, తాంబూలం ఇచ్చినటువంటి తట్టనే.
ఇట్ వాజ్ నాట్ ద డిస్కస్ సుదర్శన చక్ర. ఇట్ వాజ్ ఓన్లీ దట్ ప్లేట్
అంటే చక్రంగా వెళ్లి శిశుపాలుని కంఠం ఖండించింది.
హీ కట్ ద నెక్ ఆఫ్ శిశుపాల బై యూజింగ్
కంఠం ఖండించినంత మాత్రం ఆనందమే కాని ధర్మజులకు తక్షణమే ఆ కంఠం నుంచి కూడా రక్తమంతా ఎగిరి ఆ యొక్క కృష్ణుని పాదములపైన పట్టము, ఆ శిశుపాలుని యొక్క ప్రాణస్వరూపమైనటువంటి యొక్క జ్యోతి కృష్ణునిలో కలిసిపోయింది.
వెన్ హీ థ్రూ ద ప్లేట్ హిజ్ నెక్ వాజ్ కట్, ది బ్లడ్ స్ప్రాంగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ది వెయిన్స్ అండ్ ఫెల్ అట్ ద లోటస్ ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ.
అయోమయమైపోయింది, అల్లకల్లోలమైపోయింది, ఆంధ్రాలో వచ్చిన తుఫాను వలె కలిగిపోయింది.
అండ్ ది జ్యోతి ఫ్రమ్ హిమ్ మర్జ్డ్ ఇన్ కృష్ణ అండ్ విత్ దిస్ దేర్ వాజ్ అ లాట్ ఆఫ్
ఈ దుర్మార్గుని కంఠం ఖండించడం సత్యమే, సరి అయినటువంటిది. కానీ అతని పాపజ్యోతి ఈ పరమాత్మలో లీనం కావటం ఏమిటి ఆశ్చర్యం?
శిశుపాల డిజర్వ్ దట్ పనిష్మెంట్, బట్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ దట్ సచ్ ఎ సిన్నర్స్ ఆత్మిక్ జ్యోతి
మోర్ట్
హి వాజ్ సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్ సిన్నర్,
ఇతను మహా దురాత్ముడు,
హి వాజ్ ఎ రాదర్
ద్రోహి, దైవ ద్రోహి,
హి వాజ్ ఎ ట్రెచరస్ ఫెలో.
ఇలాంటి వాణి యొక్క జీవన జ్యోతి పరమాత్మలో చేరటం అంటే ఇది ఏమిటి ఆశ్చర్యం? ఇలాంటి వాడికే పరమాత్ముడు ఇట్లా ఇలాంటి అవకాశం అందించేది, ఇలాంటి వారినైనా తాను స్వీకరించేది అని అనేక రకములుగా తాను వేతన చేస్తూ వచ్చాడు.
ఈ బిగాన్ జస్ట్ గెటింగ్ ద నంబర్ ఆఫ్ డౌట్స్, ఈస్ ది ఫెలో హూ డిజర్వ్ సచ్ అ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ గ్రేస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లార్డ్ అలవింగ్ హిజ్ ఓన్ జ్యోతి.
సమస్యను నారాయణ దగ్గర తప్పించాడు.
దిస్ పర్టికులర్ క్వశ్చన్ వాస్,
ఎంతమందో భక్తులు ఉంటున్నారు, ఎంతమందో శరణాగతి పొందినటువంటి వారు ఉన్నారు, వీరెవరికి లేకుండా భగవంతుని దూషించినటువంటి వానికైనా ఇటువంటి పవిత్రమైన స్థానం అందించటం.
దేర్ ఆర్ సో మెనీ గ్రేట్ డివోటీస్, దే మే నాట్ గెట్ దిస్ ఆనర్ అండ్ దిస్ ఆపర్చునిటీ. షుడ్ దిస్ ఫెలో హూ హీ వాస్ సచ్ ఎ గ్రేట్
సిన్నర్ చెప్పాడు, అయ్యా దూషణ భూషణ తిరస్కార పురస్కారం అంతా దేహానికే కాని ఆత్మకు కాదు.
నారద టోల్డ్, వెల్ ఆల్ దిస్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ క్రిటిసిజం డిఫెక్ట్స్ అండ్ మెరిట్స్ అండ్ డిమెరిట్స్ ఆర్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ద బాడీ.
అందరి యందు ఉన్నటువంటిది ఒకే పరమాత్ముడే.
దేర్ ఇస్ ఫర్ ఆత్మ దేర్ ఇస్ నో సచ్ డిఫెక్ట్ అండ్ నో.
దూషించే వారెవరు, దూషణ అందుకునేటువంటి వారెవరు?
హూ ఇస్ ద వన్ హూ క్రిటిసైజెస్ అండ్ హూ ఇస్ ద వన్ హూ ఇస్
ఎవరు ద్వేషి ఎవరు ప్రీతి?
హూ ఇస్ హేటెడ్
హిందూస్తున్నారులే.
ఎవ్రీ వన్ ఇస్ ఈక్వల్.
ఏ రక్తము నిరంతరము భగవంతుని చింత చేస్తుందో ఆ రక్తం భగవంతునికి అర్పితమైపోతుంది.
That blood which goes on remembering God will always get
desham chetano,
feet of God.
Prema chetano, kamam chetano, asuya chetano, ek ahankaram chetano, ee reetigane sare aa bhagavantuni naamam smaristhe chaalu.
Whether it is out of hatred, out of jealousy, out of love, out of envy, whatever be the thing, if you go on repeating and
bhaktulu smarinchetanti smarana kante shishupalu adhikanga smarinchadu.
శిశుపాల రిమెంబర్డ్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ మచ్ మోర్ దాన్ ది డివోటీస్ రిమెంబర్ హిమ్.
భక్తులు ఏదో పూజ రూముకు పోయినప్పుడు మాత్రం పరమాత్మ అని రెండు దండాలు పెడతారు.
డివోటీస్ రిమెంబర్డ్ ది నేమ్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ ఓన్లీ వెన్
రెండు దండాలు పెడతారు.
అండ్ దే ఆఫర్ టు బి సన్
గుళ్ళు గోపురాలకు పోయినప్పుడు రెండు దండాలు పెడతారు.
వెన్ దే గో టు పిలిగ్రిమ్ సెంటర్ దే
శిశుపాలుడు అట్లు కాదు.
బట్ శిశుపాల
సర్వకాల సర్వావస్థ ఎందుకు కృష్ణ 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 కృష్ణుణ్ణి దూషించడం.
Under all times, under all circumstances, he was always criticizing Krishna, Krishna,
Nidra lo kudanu Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Even in sleep, he was criticizing Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Aa chintana yokka prabhavame ee yokka attadaku sariyinte aadharam annadu.
It is on account of that kind of constant remembrance, this blood
spread. Aithe lokulu bhasha sambandhamaina laukika sambandhamaina.
Wow, that was an amazing, amazing story. And how Swami actually got into this story?
You know, I think Swami was making the point that wicked people cannot understand the inner meanings.
Mm.
Because Swami was talking about the way Swami started.
Yeah.
It actually
is very powerful.
Very powerful. I don't know what he meant it for during that occasion, but you know, can you hear it now?
No, it's possibly because the Samarkos talks,
right, talks in
the evening,
morning,
Swami.
Evening Swami used to give the discourse.
Yeah.
But the way Swami said it, you know, those were eternal words. Swami saying that, you know,
even though I may not be physically present, I know what is going on at a particular place, at a particular time, as well as the inner feelings of the people concerned. That is the translation given here. Mm-hmm. But what Swami actually said.
Told it, lenapudu, even though I am not here right now.
Mm.
Oh, wonderful. And then I think Swami goes on to talk about what Dr. Himalath actually spoke.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Swami went on to say this. But you know, though it appears like Swami just went on to a digression and told the story, it's a very important point that Swami is making. You know, going back to that analogy of the horse being given a greater fear.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And that itself being a process of disciplining.
Mm.
You know, in that context, this is actually a very strong story. Because Swami is saying that Sishupala and Swami will talk on other occasions about Kamsa also.
Mm.
Like how the fear of that divinity itself turned them to, you know, a state of constant remembrance of the Lord.
Here in this case, hatred.
Here in this case, hatred. That, you know, even Swami says, even devotees once in a while might step into the temple and think of the God and pray to God. But here he was, his blood was saturated with the thoughts of the Lord.
Now, if you look at this episode as it is, you know, for those who have read the Bhagavatam, they know that Shishupala and Dantavakra and Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they were actually Jaya Vijaya.
Jaya Vijaya.
That is, they were the gatekeepers of Lord Vishnu. And they actually opted for 3 births of enmity with the Lord rather than 7 births as a devotee to the Lord, because they wanted to get back to him as soon as possible. This brings in a very, very important point that everything is God's will. A person who is really doing something really wrong, that is also God's will. So, now here in this context, Shishupala Swami mentions that with all his hatred, he is having constant remembrance of the Lord. And that's the reason why his life was sanctified. This is a question we should really ponder upon. Like, my understanding of the whole thing is, if you have reached a level at which you really believe that everything that is happening in the world is only because of Lord, then you should be absolutely unaffected by what happens to you as well. So it cannot be a convenient philosophy where if something good is happening to you, you say, oh, this is definitely God's will. And if something wrong is happening to you, you are saying, so God, what has gone wrong?
Right. You know, somebody used to say, Dr. Sitaramaya of the General Hospital, he had the habit in the earlier years in the General Hospital, it was a very small unit. He used to come to Swami and report every day about the patients with the names. This is the problem. This is the solution. And you know, every patient's record used to go to Swami physically. Dr. Sitaramaya used to go and report. So he had this habit of telling Swami, by your grace, this patient is discharged. And he would also say, Swami, by your grace, this patient passed away today.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, that was the belief that he had. He said, you know, nothing can happen without your grace, without your will.
Amazing.
And the most important thing being, you know, non-judgmental. That's what Swami is again repeating here, you know. Worldly people will look at only what is external.
External, correct. And like outer vision is animal.
Right.
Inner vision is...
You know, that was one thing which came in a discourse earlier. And Swami is saying the most obvious thing in creation is the multiplicity. He said no one individual is in any way completely equal to another individual. So that's the obvious thing. But the greatness in humanness, in a human birth, lies in the ability to see the unity. In this most obvious multiplicity. So that's, again, Swami is saying that, you know, it is only the wicked people who go by what they see.
You know, when Swami was narrating the Shishupala's episode, there was a beautiful poem that Swami actually narrated when he says, is Krishna to be worshipped because he did this, he did that, he did that? But there, in different other locations and in different discourses, Swami has actually given the inner meaning. And he says that whole episode, which is, you know, widely mistaken of Krishna stealing the dresses of the Gopikas and sitting on the tree and waiting. He says, Swami has told in some other occasion that it is actually a whirlwind that takes away their clothes.
Okay.
And it is the clothes that are taken away by the whirlwind, and then it's on the tree and Lord Krishna is there. So he says the inner meaning of this is that the clothes are actually meant as a covering for the body. Okay. And to give away, to offer away the body consciousness, you have to give up the body consciousness, and only then you get closer to the Lord. And so he says the body itself is like a dress that is covering the Atman. Atman is there, and the body itself is a dress. Just like the clothes are an outer covering for the body itself is an outer covering for the Atman. And he says, unless you give up that body consciousness, you cannot go closer to them. So there is a lot of inner significance, even with the fact that Lord Krishna, as a child, was going and stealing butter. he would actually tell his mother that, "Arey, they have made that butter for me. They have made it for my sake." In fact, on several occasions, I believe, he would just rub a little bit butter on his feet and then put the imprints just to give them that happiness. He's not running behind, and Swami would very nicely say, "I am not that kind of a thief." Chittachora, yeah. So, there, every act of the Lord has an inner meaning. And this example where Shishupala's, you know, prana merges with Lord Krishna is just an amazing.
In fact, you know, just as to add to that, once when Swami was talking about Shishupala and Kamsa and the likes, and them attaining, Swami very emphatically and categorically told the students, it doesn't work in Kali Yuga.
Oh, okay. But I know we are late by 5 minutes, but I just want to, you know, bring one point, because it has just come to my mind right now. When we were with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal, Swami made one of the most shocking statements. Like Swami said, "Till today, I am still searching. I have not found a devotee as great as Idi Amin." You know, Idi Amin was the general in
Otherwise a very feared personality.
Feared personality, and there is no end to his list of crimes. But Swami says, "Till today I have not found a devotee who is as..." Of course, he was very devoted to Swami in the sense that he got special cutlery and this thing for Swami. And but we don't know what the Lord sees. What exactly, because he's seeing the feeling with which he's doing. And ultimately, Swami is the cause for all that happened. So, you know, in that way, Swami says, "I'm still searching." He is a great devotee.
The importance of being non-judgmental, you know, it comes out. In many occasions, Swami says that, because we go by what we see. And one thing which we've seen in this discourse is, what you see may not be true at all.
Very true.
You know, Swami say, in fact, the discourse which follows, Swami would say that everything depends on the way you look at it. And the way you look at it is so limited by your limited understanding. But for those clips, of course, we'll have to wait for a week. That'll be in the next part of Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this week's episode. With this, we bring this part of the discourse to a close. We have a few more clips to play. Maybe we'll finish this discourse in the next week. Brother Bishu is here to take you forward with the last segment of today, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. So thanking you for your company and thanking Swami for this opportunity. This is Prem and Sai Prakash signing off for today. Continue listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Happy listening.